Quoting informed American sources, the Biden administration was involved in the explosion of the Nord Stream pipelines that transported Russian gas to Europe. The case has now gained new dimensions. We take a look at the world press and media's coverage of this issue. Please stay with us. Russia's Itatas news agency has covered this story and tells us more. In September of 2022, a number of blasts occurred in the Nord Stream 1 and Nord Stream 2 natural gas pipelines. Following the attacks, there were gas leaks around the pipelines, which were built to transport natural gas from Russia to Germany through the Baltic Sea. Both pipelines are majority owned by the Russian state-owned gas company Gazprom. At the time, there was much speculation about who may have been behind the sabotage. But now leading US journalist Seymour Hersh has blamed the blast on Washington. In a detailed report published in his blog, investigative journalist Seymour Hersh has said that bombing of the Nord Stream underwater gas pipelines in the Baltic Sea was ordered by the Biden White House and carried out by the CIA, with the help of the U.S. Navy. Seymour Hersh says the findings are based on his own investigation into last September's sabotage of the Nord Stream pipelines. He says U.S. Navy deep-sea divers planted the high-powered C-4 explosives under gas pipelines under the guise of a NATO naval exercise. The bombs were detonated on 26th of September last year using a remote signal sent by a sonobuoy, which was dropped near the Nord Stream pipelines from a Norwegian Navy P-8 surveillance plane. The planning process began in December of 2021, when a special task force was created in joint participation with U.S. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan. The White House dismissed the report, but Russian officials say the published facts should become the basis for an international investigation. Recently, Germany's public prosecutor general, Peter Frank, said that Berlin has no evidence linking Russia to the sabotage of the Nord Stream 1 and 2 pipelines. According to Seymour Hersh, the Biden administration was focused on the Nord Stream pipelines because as long as European countries like Germany remain dependent on Russian gas for cheap energy, they would be reluctant to give military aid to Ukraine for a war with Russia, which was looming at the time. The United States has always been a major opponent of the Nord Stream pipelines. In 2019, former US President Donald Trump said Nord Stream 2 would turn Europe into a hostage of Russia and consequently place sanctions on any company assisting Russia to complete the Nord Stream 2 pipeline. In December of 2020, President-elect Joe Biden, as he was at the time, expressed his opposition to the opening of the Nord Stream 2 pipeline. Swedish and Danish investigators have already found that the ruptures were the result of sabotage, but have not yet specified who was responsible for the attacks. The attacks occurred in the exclusive economic zones of the two European countries, Sweden and Denmark. Since the blast occurred, Moscow has blamed the West for the damage to the infrastructure. Russia's Sputnik news agency has also covered the same story and tells us more. The Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov said on Sunday, 12th of February, officials in the United States admit that they were behind the explosions of the Nord Stream pipelines. The Russian Foreign Minister said, now they even enjoy talking about it, adding that the US sabotaged the Russian pipeline in order to destroy a powerful alliance based on Russian energy resources and German technology that began to threaten the monopoly of many American corporations. Sergei Lavrov's comments come under heels of a bombshell revelation by Pulitzer Prize-winning American journalist Seymour Hersh, who wrote an investigative piece recently into the gas pipeline explosions. Based on information from sources, Seymour Hersh wrote that during the NATO Baltic troops exercise in the summer of 2022, US Navy divers planted explosives under the Nord Stream pipelines, which were detonated 3 months later at the orders of US President Joe Biden. According to investigative journalist Seymour Hersh, Joe Biden decided to sabotage Nord Stream after more than 9 months of secret discussions with his national security team. Seymour Hersh also cited a source with direct knowledge of US operational planning as saying that Norway played a key role in helping the United States organize the attack and keep the Swedish and Danish navies in the dark. The Pentagon has denied responsibility for the blasts. Sputnik News Agency has analyzed Flight Radar 24 data showing that US and German Navy aircraft regularly circled over the sites of future explosions on the Nord Stream pipelines during the NATO Boltops 22 exercise last summer. Between 8th of June and 16th of June last year, German and US maritime surveillance aircraft P-3 Orion and P-8 Poseidon carried out regular flights over the sites of future Nord Stream blasts. The military aircraft descended to low altitudes and turned off their transponders in almost every flight, so some of their trajectories remained unrecorded. On 8th of June last year, the American Poseidon aircraft circled over the sites of three future explosions on the Nord Stream pipelines northeast of Bornholm Island. The German P-3 Orion aircraft then flew over a future blast site east of the island of Bornholm. On 9th of June last year, the Poseidon aircraft flew over the sites northeast and east of the island of Bornholm. From 11th to 15th of June last year, the US Poseidon aircraft circled precisely over the sites of future Nord Stream sabotage acts every day, often making many turns and loops at low altitude. On 16th of June last year, the German P-3 Orion flew over the same area. The minimum flight altitude of US and German military aircraft over the Baltic Sea around the location of the gas pipelines was less than 600 meters. However, it could have been even lower in those parts of the flights that were not recorded by the open monitoring system. Late last month, US Undersecretary of State for Political Affairs Victoria Nuland hailed the destruction of the Nord Stream pipeline, saying, "The United States administration is very gratified to know that the Nord Stream 2 pipeline is now, as you like to say, a hunk of metal at the bottom of the sea." The Russian Foreign Ministry spokeswoman, Maria Zakharova, pointed out that Victoria Nuland's words were proof of the Biden administration's approval of the terrorist attack that destroyed the Nord Stream pipelines, as well as evidence of Washington's motive for undermining global energy security. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken, for his part, described the pipeline explosions as a tremendous opportunity, which would enable the European Union nations to become less dependent on Russian gas. The blast occurred on 26th of September last year at three of the four strings of Nord Stream 1 and 2 underwater pipelines built to carry a combined 110 billion cubic meters of Russian gas to Europe annually. The incidents halted gas deliveries to Germany ahead of the cold season, prompting a gas price hike and a scramble for alternative sources of natural gas in the European Union. Germany, Denmark and Sweden launched separate investigations into the acts of sabotage, with German media reporting trust issues among the three EU nations. Russia's chief prosecutor's office said it had opened an inquiry into the possible international terrorism.
We are with you. What about you? Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light.
The Creator made Adam in his image, then placed the world in his care. May you walk alongside the Creator in righteousness.
God of Abraham, take my child into thy hands, that he may live to thy service.
God has spoken to us before, through Abraham, Noah, Moses, and through Jesus Christ. Why should we be so surprised that God speaks to us now through Muhammad?
Viewpoint,
a critique of movies with religious themes on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program, Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio, with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program, and my two guest speakers, as always, Sayyid Abdullah and Brother Yasser. Assalamu alaikum, Sayyid Abdullah, and welcome to the program.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, thank you for having me.
Welcome, and Brother Yasser.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh, again, shukr for having us.
You're welcome. Well, today, let's focus on the movie Witnesses. This is a very good movie produced in 2021. It's about the Mormonism, all you can get, you know. But before that, we criticized the movie and I asked my questions. Let's take a listen to a short part of this movie or a trailer and then we'll be back. Don't go away.
The noise woke him.
David, I'm frightened.
I am right here.
Get your hands off! Let's go! Now! Julia! Julia!
Howard, why are you Mormons?
Which one of you is David Whitmer?
You know Joe Smith? You were with him when he saw the gold plates?
Get up! Yeah! Yeah!
Oliver, what would you do with 50 pounds of gold?
It's not about the gold, David.
You need to write this exactly as I dictate.
It's been truly remarkable.
There ain't no grave.
Martin, when will you believe? I need some proof.
Ain't no grave.
When the book's done, Joseph has been commanded to restore the true Church of Christ. Restore.
Back to the program, Viewpoint. The movie critique program on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program, and Sayyid Abdullah and Brother Yasser, my guest speakers. As I promised just before the break, we are trying to criticize the movie Witnesses, produced in 2021, directed by Mark Goodman. It's all about Mormonism and the Mormon. And the stars of this movie are Paul Wuthrich, Michael Zakala, Caleb J. Spivak, and Lincoln Hope, for example. The whole movie, or a short story about this movie, is David Whitmore, Oliver Cowdery, and Martin Harris, these three important figures, basing the Mormon faith, face ridicule and persecution when they claim to have seen angels and hefted golden plates containing ancient inscriptions. Known as the three witnesses, to the Book of the Mormon, Brother Yasser, let me ask you this question. How did you like this movie? I mean, about the Mormon faith and the plot of this movie, and if there are any critics that they appreciate it. Sayyid Abdullah, how did you like the movie?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The movie was like, in terms of, I can't say I watched the entire thing. I went through it because sometimes with these kind of movies, I find them a little bit boring for my taste. I mean, as a movie critic, right? So I would try to skip as much as I can, especially all the boring parts, all the talking parts, all the parts, and just the nature that has nothing. Uh-huh. It is. Look, it's well done in terms of
cinematic,
in terms of graphics, in terms of even the actors, they were good to an extent. They're not famous actors, but their acting was you know, very acceptable. I'm assuming that the Mormon Church itself put a lot of money into it to make it, you know, at least watchable. And bearable. All the reviews that you might find online, I'm assuming they're all done by Mormons themselves. because this kind of movie is not going to find a lot of there won't be a lot of attraction to it from viewers, especially when it has that name Witnesses. It brings a lot of, you know, like Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormon Witnesses, and so people like try to avoid it.
Right.
But overall, I think it was an okay movie, like in terms of the events, in terms of the struggle that these three had to go through, in terms of the storyline. It had a fair, steady storyline. It was getting to a point. There's a story behind it. Mm-hmm. So overall, I think it was okay. It wasn't that bad. It wasn't what I was expecting.
But it wasn't rated very much. It was 4.1 out of 10.
Because that's the thing. Because I don't think a lot of people heard of it. I wouldn't have heard of it if you haven't told me. What I mean? Because I think because it went under the radar because it's a Mormon movie. Uh-huh. And the Mormons around the world, they were.
And by the way, box office was less than a million. So they didn't spend much time.
Yeah, so because it was just talking, basically. There was like nothing that requires a big budget. But they done it very well. Like in terms of storytelling, it was okay. It was bearable, digestible, to say the least.
Brother Yasser, you know, at the onset of the movie, there is a caption saying, "Shortly after the dawn of a new century, a young man claimed to have had a vision of God and an angel bringing him an ancient record written on plates of gold. These plates were shown to three men who would spend the rest of their lives telling their story." The whole movie is about that, you know, the Mormon faith. Do you think that really existed, and do you have any comments on this?
So that first part of the statement is about a person by the name of Joseph Smith.
Yes.
Joseph Smith was an individual who claimed that a particular prophet by the name of Moroni came to him, whether in a dream or in a forest or somewhere, and told him that these plates that existed on the North American continent that held the wisdoms of ancient prophets. So wisdom that counted for 1,000 years, which was quite fascinating, actually. From 600 years before the advent of Jesus till the time he ascended, till 460, which is actually quite fascinating also because the time they said that the date ended was 460, because 200 years later, the prophet of Islam came. In this sense, for example, the claim of prophets being on the North American continent is not something that can be easily denied, because we have that every single people were given a guide.
Yeah.
They call it Ummatin Had.
Yes,
so every single exactly. So they may have been prophets. It's not something that can be easily denied. However, did this person actually see somebody? What are these plates actually real? That's the whole discussion. Now, these three individuals who later on in their own lives, according to what has been written, they themselves distanced themselves from the church of what's it called? Of Lady Saint. What's the name of the church?
Latter Saint.
Yeah, so the Latter Saint Church. They distanced themselves. They fell out with the church. Some of them even created their own church later on.
Yes.
So how true can these actually things be is, you know, even they have been criticized. They have been criticized even today. That okay, what did you see? You know, what were these plates and so on and so forth? It's about, you know, something that cannot be easily proven, but no one can even easily denied.
Mm-hmm.
So it's in a very gray area.
I see. But is it possible to see the angels? Like,
not physically. Unless, look, we have in the Noble Quran the particular instance of Maryam alayhi salam.
Mm-hmm.
But that was not she seeing an angel. The verse clearly says that the angel took the form of somebody else. فَتَمَثَّلَ. So that particular thing, that the angel came in a particular form.
Mm-hmm.
So it is possible to see an angel, but not in its angelic nature, because according to what we understand, or what the philosophers and mm-hmm. the Islamic sages mm-hmm. would say,
yeah.
it's impossible to see an angel in a state of its angelic nature, and unless you have a particular correlation with that particular being. Again, it's a whole distant theological discussion. But is it possible? The Quran says yes, but on a particular level,
mm-hmm.
on a particular kind of plane of existence, not right. just all of a sudden.
Thank you very much. We need to develop a little bit more on or elaborate on it. And but before that, let's take a listen to another part of the movie, just exactly about that, whether it is possible to see an angel or not. From this movie, Witnesses, produced in 2021, directed by Mark Goodman. But we'll be back. Don't go away.
So what he said was the truth.
John Murphy? From the Hamiltonian last June.
First of all, I heard you saw an angel.
I never saw one. I want your description of the shape, voice, brogue, and construction of his language. David Widmer.
It had no appearance or shape.
John Murphy says, then you saw nothing nor heard nothing? Your response?
Nothing in the way that you would understand it.
Who are you?
I'm a reporter.
Back to the program Viewpoint, the movie critique program on RIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and my two guest speakers, Syed Abdullah and Brother Yasser. We are trying to criticize the movie Witnesses, produced in 2021, directed by Mark Goodman. It's about the Mormon faith. Syed Abdullah, in this part that I promised our listeners, actually, to ask the question whether it is possible to see an angel or not. At the beginning of this movie, there is this reporter going to David Widmer, right? Mm-hmm. About whether he saw an angel or not.
Yeah.
So my question, you know, directly and simply put, is that is it possible to see an angel? This is a question that I asked Brother Yasser before the break too. We also have it in the Quran about the prophets and saints. Basically, they see angels, right?
Yeah.
Some of them, they talk to God. Musa Kalimullah, right?
Yeah.
Some of them, they did this and that. You know, they saw different creatures, different life forms, basically. Not only the human beings, also the genies, also the angels, and whatnot. We may not know even those life forms at all, right? Mm-hmm. So is it possible to see any other life forms, including the angels?
Okay. Where do I begin? look, it is very possible to see other creatures. For example, jinn. If you have the knowledge and the sight and what have you, like sorcerers or black magicians and stuff. When it comes to angels, though, I can give you an Islamic answer, or I can give you just a basic answer.
Yes.
Islamically speaking, beside the fact that you're either infallible prophet or an imam,
mm-hmm.
the angels, you're not going to be able to see angels. Unless you're a mystic and you can go to that realm, then yes. But to acclaim that you saw angels and they told you things and you want to convey it to people, that would be wahi, right? And mm-hmm. this is impossible. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not send any, even our imams, alayhi wasalam, they never acclaimed to receive wahi from Allah directly from Jibreel. I mean, even if Jibreel communicates with them and the malaika communicates with them, this is just their private affair. But for someone to say, okay, you know, I've seen an angel, he told me such and such, written plates, translated, what have you, this is just nonsense. He might have saw, maybe shaitan took a form and, you know, made it. He thought this is an angel because how would he know what an angel looks like? We don't know what an angel looks like. Even Jibreel alayhi salam, he showed himself twice to the Prophet in his actual form, and that's it. You know what I mean? So how do you know it's an angel to begin with? So no, he never saw an angel, and I don't think anyone, unless like I said, he either an infallible or a mystic that reached that realm that can see an angel. But beside that, me and you,
if a person is good enough in their own faith,
yeah,
isn't it possible for them to see because they are very sincere in their heart?
Look, it's not a matter of sincerity. There are a lot of good people, but the idea is like, why would you want to see an? Why would an angel come to you? Like the brother said, right?
Like,
so like sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can.
Every society needs a kind of imam, or not that sort of imam that we have in mind, like
yeah.
the Shias, right?
Yeah.
That kind of like, let's say, coach or
look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does
them.
Sends. If he sends malaika, he sends them in a human form, right? He doesn't send them in a malik form because no one knows what a malik form is. Because even the Quran says, do ajnihatan matnan wa thalath wa rubu'a idha'af Allah fil khalq. They have 2, 3, 4 wings and Allah has multiplies. So now we don't know how they look like. If they come to human form, like the brother said exactly in the story of Maryam, mm-hmm. they will like tamathala laha basharan sawiya. He came in a human form. So he's not going to like the Hollywood describe it like a man with 2 wings.
Mm-hmm.
That's not an angel. That's just man with 2 wings, this imagination of man. So if Allah wants to send an angel, it's possible he can send an angel and people would have interacted with angels. But they would be human form.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't be any different. Sometimes you wouldn't even know that they're angels. You could interact with one, but you don't know. And we have so many stories of Allah sending angels in human forms that interact with people.
I see. Thank you very much, Sayyid Abdullah, and thank you very much, Brother Yasser, for your nice contribution to the program, Viewpoint, the movie critique program, in which we try to criticize the movie Witnesses, directed by Mark Goodman. Of course, unfortunately, we haven't come to end its critique, so we may have to postpone it, in fact, to the upcoming episode. Thank you very much for listening to us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You will see the plates.
The Lord has declared it.
When I hear that trumpet sound, I'm gonna get up out of the ground. Ain't no grave, gonna hold my body down.
I've lost my soul.
Why is this happening, Joseph? Did you not see God? Did he not speak to you?
Yes, but he doesn't speak to me now.
This time, Mark, we will listen.
There ain't no grave, gonna hold my body down.
Food for thought.
Salam, everybody, and let us listen to a thought-provoking saying from the Prophet's 7th infallible successor, Imam Musa Kazem, peace upon him. For the steadfast, a misfortune is only one, while it is twofold for the impatient.
This is IRIB English Radio. Iranian news. Iranian culture. Iranian voice. www.parstoday.com/en
10 minutes.
UK household budgets are becoming increasingly stretched. And as the cost of living crisis worsens, vulnerable families and their children are being pushed to the edge.
People are struggling to eat. People are struggling to heat their homes as well. That has a knock-on effect in terms of general health and well-being. So we get more people that turn up at accidents and emergency, more people that might be using drugs and alcohol to alleviate the symptoms caused by the poverty that they're feeling.
Around 13.4 million people were living in poverty in the UK between 2020 and 2021, according to the Joseph Rowntree Foundation. Analysis from the foundation has revealed 3.9 million children were living in poverty in the UK in the same period of time.
We regularly have people who come in that may not have eaten for 2-3 days. We didn't used to see that before. I also had a family where one night they fed the son, the next night they fed the daughter because they can't feed everyone. I just think it's shameful that we're in a relatively wealthy city that we have people that are struggling so much.
Child poverty increased most dramatically in the northeast of England between 2015 and 2020, rising by over a third, from 26% to 37% of all children. Demand for free school meals is also highest in the Northeast, where around 29.1% of children currently qualify, compared to just 17.6% in the Southeast.
We all know inflation's going up, you know, by a lot, but it's people that are on the lowest incomes that will suffer the most, because the products that they're buying to basic food isn't just going up by 10% or whatever, it's going up by 100%.
But while the Northeast now has the highest rate of child poverty across the regions, many of the worst affected constituencies and local authorities continue to be in London, according to Action for Children. This is due to high housing costs in the capital. The Childhood Trust has found 40% of children aged 6 to 16 are facing food poverty in London, meaning their families cannot afford to keep them fed.
In a city like London, one of the most thriving cities in the world, it's shocking. It's shocking to think that that number of children and our families are struggling to make ends meet and are struggling to provide the food that they need for their families. It's really quite a shocking statistic, I think.
In the words of Lawrence Guinness, Childhood Trust Chief Executive, we've never seen levels of food insecurity at that high before. It's an alarm bell in the face of growing adversity and the diminishing power of household income. Tower Hamlets is the borough with the highest rate of child poverty after housing costs, with a rate of 51%. Child poverty rates are also high in other large cities like Birmingham and Manchester. The latest data available shows children from black and minority ethnic groups are more likely to be in poverty at 46% compared to 26% of children in white British families. Children's charities, schools, and food aid organizations are working tirelessly to plug the gaps created by the welfare system. Food banks are now being set up in schools so children have enough to eat.
Research by the Child Poverty Action Group earlier this year estimated that 1 in 3 school children living in poverty don't qualify for a free school meal. So when we talk about hunger, we're talking about children coming to school and relying on a hot, nutritious meal at lunchtime. And the figures around the 1 in 3 are sitting at around 800,000 children. And that's why we're running a campaign to extend eligibility so more families living in poverty can access good nutrition at lunchtime.
Living in poverty can have a serious impact on a child's well-being. Some report feeling ashamed and unhappy and worry about their parents. Disadvantaged children are more likely to develop severe mental health problems by age 11 than their well-off peers. Kids in inadequate housing have been shown to be more at risk of respiratory illnesses and meningitis. Those in the most disadvantaged areas can expect 20 fewer years of good health in their lives than children in places with more resources.
So when you're living in a cold, damp home, that causes huge problems. If you're in, if you've got pre-existing heart conditions, if you've got respiratory illnesses such as long COVID or COVID itself, if you've got asthma or COPD or other lung conditions, all of those things are made much, much worse by living in a cold, damp home. If you're recovering from surgery, that can take longer for your wounds to heal because you're living in a cold, damp home. So there's a whole range of different things that are affected by the problem of fuel poverty. And that's why if we don't solve these things through economic measures, we're going to see a long-term health crisis affecting our country.
On the rise alongside poverty is childhood obesity, with rates at an all-time high. Children aged 4 to 5 in the most deprived 10% of the population are 75% more likely to be overweight or obese than those in the most affluent 10%. Poverty even puts kids at greater risk of being groomed or exploited by criminal gangs. There are reports that children whose families are mired in deep poverty are stealing basic items such as food and tissues from their schools, and some are missing lessons altogether because they cannot afford the bus fare. In November last year, The Independent published a horrible report about schoolchildren and parents shoplifting to feed themselves and their families. Meanwhile, the Children's Society is warning that government support does not go far enough, as thousands of children are at risk of malnutrition this winter. Campaigners and economic experts have repeatedly called for an overhaul of the Social Security safety net, particularly reforms for universal credit and an end to the two-child limit to receiving some benefits. The 20-pound cut to universal credit in October 2021 plunged families back into poverty after giving them light relief throughout the COVID-19 pandemic. Surprisingly enough, successive conservative chancellors have reduced tax credits and benefits for low-income families with children while introducing tax cuts that have benefited the better off.
We are calling the government to increase its support in order to get through this winter. And we are also calling the government to think about enduring solutions, especially in the area of energy efficiency, in order to reduce very significantly the level of consumption of our customers.
According to The Observer, the UK has become a hostile place to have children, as parents are being forced to bring their offspring in conditions that will have grave repercussions for society. It starts even before birth. It's estimated that more than 1,000 babies die or are left with severe injuries each year as a result of something going wrong during labor. Meanwhile, the number of child abduction offenses has been on the rise. Over the past decade, nearly 10,000 children have been abducted. In one case in late January, dozens of asylum-seeking children were kidnapped by gangs from a Brighton hotel run by the Home Office in a pattern apparently being repeated across the South Coast. It has emerged that the Home Office was warned repeatedly by police that the vulnerable occupants of the hotel, asylum-seeking children, who had recently arrived in the UK without parents or carers, would be targeted by criminal networks. Child poverty in the UK is reaching worrying levels. Paltry wages, low benefit payments, and a cost of living crisis mean the UK's poorest families and their children are getting poorer. But will the UK government do something meaningful in this regard? History is not promising, but we'll have to wait and see.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. In the name of Allah, the Almighty, dear friends, Salaamu Alaikum. And welcome. This is another episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Be with us because today we're going to speak about the morals and behavior of the Holy Prophet Muhammad al-Mustafa, peace be upon him and his pure progeny. جئت بعد العسر يسرا ربنا أعلاك قدرا يا إمام الأنبياء أنت في الوجدان حي أنت للعينين ضي أنت عند الحوض ري أنت هاد وصفي يا حبيبي يا محمد يا نبي سلام عليك يا رسول سلام عليك يا حبيب سلام عليك صلوات الله عليك. Today, Friday, is the 26th of Rajab, 1444 of Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 28th of Bahman, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 17th of February, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We'll listen to the first ayahs of chapter Al-Muzammil from the Holy Quran.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
يا أيها المزمل.
O you who wraps himself in clothing.
قم الليل إلا قليلا.
Arise to pray the night except for a little.
نصفه أو انقص منه قليلا.
Half of it, or subtract from it a little.
أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
Or add to it and recite the Quran with measured recitation.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The tone of the opening verses of the blessed chapter reflects that the noble prophet is divinely called unto steadfastness and preparedness for an immense obligation acting upon which requires spiritual growth. It would be interesting to note that the noble prophet is herein addressed as wrapped in garment. He is urged to rise at night since his foes are asleep at the time and people desist from following their daily routines, hence further preparedness for meditation and spiritual growth.
حبيبي جد الحسن رسولي معدن الجود إمام الحرام نبينا خير من يمشي على قدمي يا عاشق صلوا على سيد الكون سيد الكون صلى الله عليه وآله
It's good to continue the morals and behavior of the Holy Prophet.
Islamic leaders have offered advice to their followers in all areas of life. They have done so to make every member of Islamic community perfect in all social and individual aspects. The role that their good conduct and noble traits plays in the lives of young people is more than the one played by their speeches. A person's real identity is manifested through his conduct more than it is through his words. Words come out of one's mouth, where one's conduct and ways of behaving come from the bottom of one's heart. The conduct of the Prophet Muhammad and his family can be a best model and example for the establishment of an ideal Islamic society and a utopia. The Holy Prophet's conduct, behavior, and way of life are the best examples for Muslims as well as all other people to follow. He is, in fact, the best manifestation of Islam.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Dear brothers and sisters, in this show we are going to talk about the morals and behavior of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, I want to have a look at the Prophet's cleanliness and orderliness. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was fond of scent and spent more on buying perfumes than on food. His pleasant smell filled the air of any place he passed, so that whosoever passed there knew that the Holy Prophet of Islam had passed that way. He used to brush his teeth frequently and washed his blessed hands both before and after meals. Whenever the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was about to leave his house, he would look into a mirror or into water. He always left home with a clean, pleasant appearance. We see how beautiful. It's beautiful to see and to hear that our Prophet was a clean and pleasant entity and person. Our Holy Prophet was known as a pious and sincere person and worshipper of God. And the Holy Prophet of Islam had great love for ritual prayers, as we said earlier, so that during the night he would get up several times, brush his teeth, and then offer the most devoted prayers. He would stand worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and talking sincerely to the Almighty Creator for so long that as a result of so much standing in prayer, his legs were swollen. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took lessons from watching the sky, the moon, the sun, and every other things in nature, and these phenomena attracted him to their Creator more than to themselves. He was so devoted and pious that not even for a single moment was he enchanted by any luxury or pleasure of this mortal world and life. In short, the Holy Prophet of Islam was a perfect model of all excellent virtues and sublime human qualities.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, in your hearts. A day you'll always remember every part.
Today's special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
Let's listen more about the Prophet's trust in Allah, an example to all people. You know those situations the Prophet was involved as they are related in the Quran demonstrate his resignation and submission to Allah. Whatever the situation might have been, the Prophet always submitted to Allah in the knowledge that there was beauty and goodness in all that he created. These words of the Prophet to his people as related in the Quran are a telling instance of that submission. If good happens to you, it galls them. If a mishap occurs to you, they say we made our preparations in advance, and they turn away rejoicing, saying nothing can happen to us except what Allah has ordained for us. He is our master. This is in Allah that the believers should put their trust. There was in chapter At-Tawbah from the Holy Quran, verses 50 to 51.
You're our prophet, our beloved. Truly you are most just and kind.
You're our prophet, our beloved. Truly you are most just and kind.
You're our prophet, our beloved. Truly you are most just and kind.
We have a short part about valuable lesson from Prophet Muhammad's life. And that was, we can summarize it into one sentence, and that is, he upheld the truth at all times. Yes, before that miraculous night when the Holy Prophet was appointed as the final messenger, the whole city of Mecca called him by the worthy name of As-Sadiq Al-Amin, means the honest, the trustworthy. This not only placed the people's firm belief and trust in him, but when he finally began to preach the religion of Allah, people adhere to his attestations.
First and foremost, the Prophet was true with himself. He was able to maintain such sublime character because he was truthful with himself. History tells us that long before the Prophet began his mission, long before he received his first revelation at the age of 40, that he had acquired two epithets, that people in society knew him as As-Sadiq Al-Amin, the truthful and the trustworthy one, and that he had adopted these titles long before he actually began his prophetic mission. And these are the most important elements of a refined ethical character, that one is truthful and that one is trustworthy. And this is why we find that the sixth Imam of Ahlul Bayt, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, peace be upon him, when he describes the way to identify whether a person is truly honest, whether a person is truly devout, truly pious, the Imam says, do not be fooled by the amount of prayers or prostrations or cycles of prayer that a person performs, nor the amount of fasts that they observe. لا تختروا بصلاتهم ولا بصيامهم. If you want to test the true character of a person, he says, ولكن اختبروهم عند صدق الحديث وأداء الأمانة. Test people when it comes to their honesty in speech, and when it comes to the way that they fulfill their promises. In other words, test them when it comes to their honesty, their truthfulness. Test them when it comes to their trustworthiness, because it is these characteristics that are the basis of a refined moral character.
Dear brothers and sisters, thank you for listening to us. There was today's special from IRIB English Radio. Inshallah, we continue this interesting topic. We'll learn more about the Prophet of Allah. peace be upon him and his pure progeny, inshallah. Thank you and have a nice time.
Mustafa, anta an-nabiyul amin wa sayyidul mursalin rahmatan lil alamin jitta bil haqqil yaqin anta an-nabiyul amin wa sayyidul mursalin rahmatan lil alamin jitta bil haqqil yaqin.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.